Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.
Well, realistically, the state really is just standing still, assessing the damage after the past 3 or so days, the major flood warnings remaining in place for the Meander River. The Premier has said more rain may lay ahead, but we'll get the accurate news with Leon Smith, SES Acting Director. Leon, thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, and I appreciate it. Good morning.
Oh, no, not at all, Mike. Thank you. Good morning, and very much appreciate your support.
Look, can you tell us which areas are currently impacted the most?
Yeah, so look, Mike, the flood modelling that we actually use is informed by historical flood information. We've got a lot of historical information, but of significance, you know, the most recent intelligence we have from the flooding events, obviously 2016, and our flood modelling and our predictions are all based on the ability to be able to predict impact based on the hydrological data and the information that's provided by the Bureau. So, look, from the start of this messaging, we knew that this rain event would come in from the northwest and continue across to the northeast. As it did, record-breaking rainfall values, you know, in excess of 400 millimetres in areas and... you know, the areas of the state that were most affected, obviously, you know, the Railton, sort of Latrobe, the Mersey Meander, the Forth, and then down into the sort of southeast, northeast. But look, you know, at the moment, impact assessment that's been undertaken, well, sorry, I'll go back a little bit. If we consider the potential based on what the modelling identified, there was potential for, you know, just on 500 homes, businesses to be potentially impacted within the you know, respective flood zones. Impact assessments identified that, look, we're not anywhere near those numbers, thank goodness. We did put preventative measures in to ensure that, you know, those potential 500 premises and businesses were on our radar definitely, and that we undertake preventative measures to keep people abreast of that. But at the moment, our impact assessments identified 54 residential properties, 21 businesses, 23 community facilities. And when we break that down, you know, we're looking at the different areas of the states being, you know, Latrobe, a total of 18, you know, one community, two commercial, 15 residential. And then obviously we go down into the Kentish, we've got 9 residential, one commercial, one community, you know. So, and it's the areas of the northwest that were most impacted, but I'm really pleased to say that, you know, obviously with the messaging and in collaboration with media, you've done an exceptional job in support of this event. The public were well and truly informed. The use of the flood warning system in a timely manner, proportionate to the situation, enabled people to make decisions, listen to the call to actions. It hasn't impacted, from an injury or even worse perspective, Mike. So the people in the northwest have returned to community. We're actually dealing with, undertaking those assessments and, you know, those necessary sort of avenues to go to get assistance and repairs in their properties. But look, the areas of Latrobe, Railton were the most impacted. There was a potential in the northern region for the Hadspin area. We were very proactive. We had definitive areas of concern where we went into the, we did this across the state in all of these areas, but went into the Hadspin area in amongst these 40 to 50 properties, door knocked, provided the advice, put the appropriate calls to action in place. And, luckily it didn't get to our trigger levels to want to warrant an evacuation. So, the most area of damage is certainly the northwest, Mike. The northern region is still, as you indicated in opening up this segment, still subsiding. They're certainly peaked and are now reducing. I'm very pleased to say that I'll be in a position to realise that the impacts in the southeast, northeast sort of area of the state will not impact our communities any more than what they already have, which is good.
And Leon, tell me, how different is it to 2016? I mean, the amount of rainfall was incredible.
Look, Michael. 2000. Look, I wasn't in SES. I was in TFS in 2016. My priority was bushfires at the time. The data we've got incredible data. Now we can definitively say now that by comparison with the inundation levels in 2016, the rainfall values were less in 2016, slightly in areas. This was record breaking. This event that we've currently seen now. The impact in Latrobe this time, by comparison to 16, was less. However, the impact to Deloraine this year, by comparison to 2016, was greater. So what that tells us, and it's, you know, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that it all depends. It's the rainfall that falls is a consideration, but it's about the location that it falls as well, and therefore how it actually makes its way through the landscape and where it actually ends up sort of culminating is the issue. So look, we, from a planning perspective, there's a lot of work that goes in preparation of an event such as this. The cross-government collaboration is just exceptional. We're stronger together. There's no way a single agency can deal with this. And, the intelligence and the data that we actually have to enable us to make informed decisions, informing the public. We're talking Mother Nature here. We need to get people out of the way. You know, there's nothing we can do to stop these events. That's what's led to the success. But every rainfall event that we actually have further informs our intelligence for the next event, Mike. It's constantly evolving. We constantly consider what's happened. We're gathering impact. I'm not sure whether you've seen, listeners would have seen in some of the television media, some of the imagery from our rotary wing aircraft that we've gathered, in regard to inundation levels. Yeah, it's incredible data. It's very good technology. It can sit a long way off and actually zone right in to get incredible detail. And that at a high level identifies areas of impact and significant consequence. And then our ground crews then go in when it's safe to do so to better understand the situation by getting data specific to each of those individual areas of damage. So it is ongoing, we're still in the operational phase, Mike. Whilst ever there's risk of flooding, which there is at the moment, things are still subsiding. We're still actively monitoring it. We'll continue to do that, continue to collate data to then provide in to best inform the recovery in as timely manner as we can.
It's interesting that you were saying you must be so impressed with the new information gathering helicopter, for example, the one you got from Victoria with the real-time video streaming back to control centres, and all the geolocated video, photos, information. The kind of technology nowadays is incredibly helpful.
We can sit. I can sit here in 70 Collins Street in our State Operations Centre and quite often in events of significance previously this is my personal experience. We gain information and updates from on the ground, and you get a picture in your mind. But to have real time live streamed data, really precise data streamed into this facility, it almost puts you in the situation itself. And if I sit here and I just take a moment just to look around the State Operations Centre, we've got the Bureau of Meteorology embedded, we've got the Commonwealth embedded, we've got the ADF as a liaison, we've got Tasmania Police, Tasmania Fire Service, we've got Ambulance Tasmania, and we've got representation from across government. This is how the machine works, Mike. And whilst I'm looking at this data to inform operational priorities and to coordinate response, there are other agencies here that they're participating in that aspect, but they're also considering that from a consequence management perspective. It's a big machine, but it's quite remarkable the level of data that we have. Look, and the other significant story, I guess, the thing that will reassure the public is that the investment by government to enable us to undertake our operations this manner has been significant. We're sitting in an emergency management centre that contains the State Operations Centre and the State Control Centre, which is the emergency management aspect. So proportionate to the operations comes the emergency management, the broader government insights and the broader government collaboration to be able to work together, to collaborate, to be able to provide the best level of support to not only the operation but community. And so we're sitting here in a facility that has been purpose-built. It's only brand new. Tasmania was an early adopter of the Australian warning system, the flood warning system. Mike, we spoke about this when we launched it only about a month ago.
We did.
Uh, And yeah, and we had an operation where we used it. It was actually our first operation only 2 weeks ago, where all of our very capable, I'm very proud of our people, they're our best resource, but they came together to push out and publish our first warning proportionate to the situation on the ground that was provided by our regional operations centre, to now having pushed out warnings right across, you know, advice message right to emergency warnings to prepare to evacuate, then using emergency alert to inform evacuations, and then safely returning communities back. It's a collaborative effort, but the tools at our disposal, in the recent past, have just been phenomenal. And that's really, in addition to that, the icing on the cake is really the establishment of TasAlert, which is a central point of truth whereby we provide our messaging with definitive calls to action in regard to the situation to enable the public to be informed and make good decisions. We're very fortunate in the state. There's been a lot of proactive work done, but a lot of exceptional people have the best interest of the public at heart to be able to provide the services that that they do.
And speaking with Leon Smith, SES Acting Director. Leon, what can you tell us about the road situation and the current landslides?
Yeah, so look, this is a situation where, you know, we've seen significant landslides in the Powhatina area. We saw a significant landslide event in Targa out to, between Launceston area out towards Scottsdale. The soil, because it's so wet and we've had that sustained rainfall, we've got saturation of soil at elevation in areas that, it's quite rare to have this circumstance. And we've seen some significant landslide events, but it's due to the instability within the soil due to the saturation, they are events of significance. Now, from a road closure perspective, we've had the Powhatina landslide affect the road up there, but that's of significance. It's going to take some time to clear. What I can say is that when the Tasmanian public go to TasAlert and there is a road closure in place on TasAlert that is current and up to date, and it is certainly relevant to the situation. Road closures have always been difficult to manage in events of significance such as floods and fires, natural disasters. That's right across the country. But in this instance, I can put my hand on my heart, Mike, and say that the status of the road closures is directly proportionate to the situation as reflected in TasAlert. Our joint operations between on-ground operations back into Tasmania Police via the regional network, then back into state network, is more or less instantaneous. So the situation on the ground is reflected on TasAlert. Now, we've had state growths within our state operations centre here undertaking assessments of some of our data from our intelligence gathering aircraft to get an initial picture. And, you can see on the socials, Mike, the significant damage, which further reinforces to me from an operational perspective, messaging perspective, if it's flooded, forget it. We've got washouts that are metres deep. You could have a few inches of water over the top of that and have no idea what is actually happening below the surface. But, given the velocity of the rain and the duration, we've got significant impacts on many, many roads, state and local government roads around the state. And that assessment is ongoing, but, the rectification of that will be done. I only learnt this on the weekend. When roads are actually wet, it's a very, very difficult time when all of that, the structure below the road surface is actually wet. It's not the time to actually rectify roads. It needs to be dry base, etc., and the surface needs to be sort of built over a period of time, which brings me to a fact that although we're seeing things subsiding at this point in time, Mike, in regard to the record-breaking rain event of the last week, we've got 2 days of relatively clear weather. It's anticipated if the northern region continues, southwest, northwest situation continues as it is now, I imagine that we may be back to no current warnings within the next probably 12 hours. So we should be reverting back post the next high tide. That'll be a good indicator of where we're sitting. So we will see road closures still up because of that long-term damage that needs to be rectified. However, the warnings from a flood perspective, should well be cleared, I'd imagine, within the next 12 hours. But don't rely on that message. Go to TasAlert to make sure that's the case. Now, what we're looking at is 2 days of relatively clear weather and good mm-hmm. weather. However, we are actively watching, in conjunction with the Bureau, a system of a similar nature to what we've just been confronted with.
Oh, great.
That will impact our state on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the message in this one is we don't expect it to be, well, we never know, it's an unknown quantity, but we don't expect it to be of the rainfall values that we've seen, but there will be heavy rains in it. And the state is already saturated, and there will be consequences of this next event as well. So, this is the effects of La Nina. This is, spring impacts in Tasmania. And what I will say is every drop of rain has potential to exacerbate the flooding situation because of the fact the state's extremely wet. So it's got to go somewhere. It can't go into the soil. So we'll have, this event will sort of conclude. There'll be a couple of days where, you can have a break from us, but then our messaging will be starting again, in the next day or so in regard to this event of imminence, this imminent event that will impact the state in one way or another. So, Tasmanians, just be aware that there is something else coming, and we'll keep you abreast of that situation as it emerges.
And Leon, too, people have been disobeying those road closure signs a lot, and I know there's been a lot of people too taking photos and going. I mean, you look at the cataract, the gorge, for example, the water flooding through there and right up to the circus edge, all of those sorts of photos. You can see those everywhere. So, I mean, is there a bit too much of that? Would you like to warn people, please stay? I think that the thing that you've mentioned, where if it's just covered over lightly, it can be a huge hole underneath it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, SES, the Response Management Authority for Flooding, we work within the cold zone, right, given the dangers and the potential dangers. That's 2 metres from the water's edge. That's our concept of operations. Given the risks that we know are associated with still waters and then to the next level, fast-moving floodwaters, we don't go near it. In the event that we do need to, there's obviously a risk assessment done. We've got the appropriate equipment to be able to do so. In fact, we'll call on Tasmania Police or the expertise of Surf Life Saving for swift water rescue in the event that we need to enter the water. We don't do it. The dangers are significant, Mike. And, we have seen a level of complacency, and we've also seen Tasmania Police have spoken over the weekend about the disregard that the Tasmanian public have in some instances. Not everybody. We've got, I reckon, 99% of people that comply and conform that are doing the right thing. But, we have seen the exception whereby people are moving road closed signs and actually transiting areas that are closed. And
ridiculous.
We don't want that. You're going to find yourself in a situation whereby you're going to need the assistance of emergency services. And with all due respect, we've got priorities in the greater public have needs at the moment. We haven't concluded this event, and it's not the situation that we want to see people in. So do the right thing. Listen to advice. Don't disregard road closure signage, don't be tempted to, transit into an area or to walk into an area that, where there's potential to interact with floodwaters, irrespective of whether they're fast flowing or static. The dangers are real and the consequences are significant.
I know that with one of those landslides too, Leon, the transmission line in the Central Highlands was knocked out of service Friday. TasNetwork says, look, it hasn't been too much of an issue at this stage, but looks like that's going to take some time to fix.
Yeah. So you look at the weight of those towers and then, the soil conditions and, from a stability perspective down it goes. But, we're all astonished at some of these things when we see them. Even as emergency services, we just go, it just further reinforces to us the fact that these events of significance have potential to lead to, outcomes of significance. And that's, although we sort of go, that's pretty hard to imagine that happening. It is a reality, Mike. And, we're just seeing really, really sort of adverse situations and outcomes, so there's lessons in this for all of us. We have that constant messaging about if it's flooded, forget it. That's a simple message, but we just try and reinforce constantly that people need to adhere to that. You guys are fantastic during severe weather warnings where Say we have easterly or, you know, northeasterly, northwesterly sort of winds where the soil's saturated, there's a high chance of trees coming down, you know, because one, you know, the wind's coming from a different direction, the soil's wet, you know, but when we start to see transmission towers coming down, when we start to see significant landslides, impacting on residential areas such as we saw, or a residential property such as we saw up in Targa area, when we see the Powhatina situation, now it's just, you know, it's their impacts of significance with really, really catastrophic outcome potential, you know. So, we do, when we see these circumstances, close the roads, remove people out of harm's way, and, that's really, that's all we can do. And if you don't abide to these directions, you may well find yourself in a circumstance and be impacted by some of these outcomes.
And I know there's some support available through the Disaster Recovery Assistance Grants. Individuals should just access that, the short-term payments through Rural Business Tasmania and Services Australia as well. And yes, also the TAS ports have reopened the ports, so you've got, I think, additional day sailings of the Spirit of Tasmania now.
Yes, that's right. So that's right in regard to the access to the support. That's exactly right, Mike. And you know, that's another good aspect, isn't it? By having the Commonwealth embedded within here, they're across the situation. They're seeing it just as soon as I am, and informing the Commonwealth, which helps sort of expedite some of those support packages. You know, which is great, but. You know, with the easing of the flows within the Mersey, it was a good decision. We saw the consequences of that flooding in the Mersey in 2016. They were of significance, and it was a good decision. That once again, that's testament to the collaboration across the emergency management sector with TAS Ports and the owner of the port. Fantastic, a good move. And once again, once we hit the triggers to come back to be able to safely operate, they've commenced it, you know. So they're really good stories, Mike, and it just shows that collaboration and best practice.
And, Leon, what about current warnings? What you touched on earlier on, what should we be looking out for now? I know that the river's slowly going down, Meander in particular.
Yeah, that's right. So at the point, as it 5 a.m. I've had a bit of media this morning, Mike. I'm not up to date with the current ones, but obviously Tasmania can go to the State Emergency Service site where we've got a link to the Bureau, or straight to the Bureau site. But the major flood warning we had at Meander issued at 4:57, major flooding at Westwood Bridge, it's all subsiding. Moderate flood warning for the Macquarie, moderate flooding easing at Cressy, minor flooding easing at Coraline, and minor flooding slowly easing at Lewis Hill, Fingal, Llewellyn, Longford, Perth and Lake Trevallon, you know. And once again, you know, when we get down to the Lake Trevallon area, obviously, you know, tidal influences there by the Mersey. But, we're seeing everything starting to subside now. No additional rainfall. We're confident that all of that rainfall's made its way already into the catchments. And so it's a watching brief now, just to slowly watch the situation sort of subside now, Mike.
Yeah, and they can go to tasalert.com too if they want to.
Absolutely. Yeah, if there's one app that you've got on your smartphone, it's tasalert.com. Irrespective of the situation, if it's of significance and relevant to the public, it's going to be on TasAlert, Mike.
Oh, well then, Leon, thank you, mate. I think a lot of people need to thank the SES, all the volunteers, and not just SES, but all the volunteers, everybody that has helped so much and doing so much hard work for those people that have been affected. So thank you from all of us to your good self and team, Leon.
Mike, look, I really appreciate it. Look, volunteers are the salt of the earth. This has been a big collaborative effort, you know, right across government, across all organisations, volunteer organisations. Volunteers in community, Mike, it's just been phenomenal. It makes me really proud, and extremely proud of our people. It's nice to be part of it. But I must say, too, your support, the support of media in enabling us to get ahead of it in the best interest of the public to get these messages out is just phenomenal. And, it is a partnership, and that's very much appreciated too, Mike. So it is a team effort, and you're very much part of it, and we thank you very much for that.
Well, Leon, good to talk to you again. I know you're busy. Leon Smith, SES Acting Director, thanks for your time, and we'll probably be talking again soon.
Yeah, no doubt, Mike. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Pleasure. Good to talk to you, mate. Leon Smith and all the SES have done some amazing work. 1300 00 10 12, our phone number, text 0448 30 10 12.
Tasmania Talks with Mike O'Loughlin, weekday mornings from 9.